You can turn your Bible to John chapter 4. Some of this you know, some of this you may not have heard. Last week I was in prayer and I just finished Thursday night's message. And I'm sitting there worshiping God and just enjoying the pleasure of the right hand. And he just approaches me right in the middle of all that. And I wasn't even thinking about this particular verse here, John 4. He said, would you like to know what this means, to worship me in spirit and in truth? For the true worshipers must worship me. And of course, we've taught it different ways and over the years. And he just spoke to me. He just released the revelation of it. And just like you would talk to me, it wasn't audible, but it was spiritual. I could hear it, and he just explained the whole thing to me. Now, that's not normally how he does with me revelation. The way he normally does with revelation is he'll capsule up something. He kind of sends it to my spirit, and it just explodes, and I see the beginning to the end. That's how he works with me. He just shows me a progression, and it just kind of flows to my spirit. But here, he just spoke it to me, which was really amazing because it was a brand new operation I'm not accustomed to, but I really appreciated it a lot. I want to share this with you today. To really understand this, let's read this particular text of scripture. This is where he had this meeting with a woman at the well with Samaria, and he's in their last discourse, and he just told her she had five husbands, and so she gets a revelation. And we'll pick that up in verse 19. He said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet, after he had just told her, you've had five husbands, and the one you're with is not your husband. In verse 20, I'm so amazed that here's a woman, he says, is not your husband, so she's living in adultery, and he gives her one of the greatest revelations in the entire New Testament. In fact, when I was in the Spirit, and the Lord was explaining it to me, he said, this is a crowning revelation, and I knew what he meant by that. As a matter of fact, it's taken a whole year of understanding the right hand of God, in particularly the entire book of John and the book of Hebrews, to understand what he's saying here. But he gives it in one or two verses. But it takes a lot of understanding. In fact, you got to build walls around this revelation, understand what he's saying in the crown of it. So verse 20, she says this to him, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, speaking of Samaria, and you say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Then Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain of Samaria nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now you have to understand, when he's referring to Jerusalem here in worshiping the Father, he is directly referring to the Levitical priesthood, the tabernacle that was set into Jerusalem, the holy place and the holy of holies. All the nations came to worship God the Father there in Jerusalem. In the tabernacle that David and Moses had set up, and that tabernacle, that's what he was referring to. Because she said, you say that Jerusalem's the place to worship because that's where everybody goes. Your high priest makes sacrifice once a year there for the atonement of the people. And so watch what he says. Jesus said, a woman, believe me, verse 21, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain of Samaria or in Jerusalem with a tabernacle, with the Holy of Holies, with the holy place, where the entire Levitical priesthood is hubbed, headquartered, where God meets. He goes, I'm changing all that. Can you imagine them hearing that? You imagine what he said? If there was a Pharisee and 100 yards of him, they would have picked up stones. Because he just told them, you're not going to be worshiping in this system anymore. I'm changing it. More importantly, look at the imagery. He says, you shall neither in this mountain nor in the mountain of Jerusalem worship the Father. I'm changing the jurisdiction by which you worship. Heavy. Say heavy. Verse 22. You worship you know not what. Now he told her, he said, listen, your mountain, you're off by a long yard, because they were worshiping idols there in Samaria. He said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. You've already missed it there with Samaria. Okay? But then he says this, he goes, but we do know what we worship. because salvation is of the Jews. So he's directly referring now to the worship that's going on in the Levitical priesthood in Jerusalem with the holy place and the holy of holies, the tabernacle that's hubbed and headquartered in Jerusalem. He says, we know what we worship for this salvation that's been proclaimed for all of these last 2,000 or 3,000 years since Moses. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. Okay? He said, we have been God's spokesperson. You don't even know what you're worshiping. Because you've missed it completely. But here is how God was instructing people to worship. And this is the system by which they entered into worship with. But, no, he said but. I didn't say but. He said but. You know, sometimes the difference between the old and the new, just getting through that word. Look at this, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is. That was a millennial hour. The generation now has come. Your generation, it now is. So he says, salvation of the Jews. However, he's saying, I'm changing that too. Because he just told him, you're not going to worship in this mountain anymore. If you're not going to worship in that mountain, then you're not going to worship in that system. If you're not going to worship in that system, he's going to change the priesthood and you're going to worship somewhere else. Here is deep call to deep. If you're not going to worship in this mountain, you can go and make your journey to the Holy Land. I want to actually see the Holy Land. This is a rich history of the Holy Land. I know people that have moved there because they thought if I move there, I'll get closer to God. But he already said it's not in this mountain or in this one. That's not where you're going to find the Father anymore. Listen, you can have an experience with God there. Don't misunderstand me, but you can have experience in God right here. You can go in your closet and have experiences. This is what he's changing. He says, this is not where you're going to find the Father anymore. You got to understand what he's saying. The depth of these words are huge. Verse 23, the hour cometh now is when the true worshipers, everyone say true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. There's two foundations by which you will worship him with. What does that mean to worship him in spirit? I worship you, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. No, you're a liar. I mean, what does that mean to worship him in truth? You ever thought about that? For the Father seeketh such. Let's get something straight. God has been on the throne a long time before we ever showed up. God loves you infinitely, 1,000 times more than we could ever love. All right? The Father's love is great. But God is not up there falling apart because you don't show up. When he says he seeketh, it's not because he needs that. He wants it and desires, but he doesn't need that. Do you understand that? When he said he seeketh, what he was saying, I'm seeking a new system. The old waxeth old and decayeth, it said in Hebrews. You know what that means, waxeth old and decayeth? Have you ever seen a body that died and had no more life in it? And that body starts shriveling up. It waxeth old and starts decaying. That's what happens. That part of the priesthood no longer breathes the life of heaven. So it's waxing old and decaying. God has something new. He's seeking the new because the old was insufficient. He was seeking a new platform by which you could approach him. All right? Verse 24, for God is a spirit. That's very important. His whole kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not discerned by the natural eye or the natural senses. It's very real. It can be approached and you can enter into it. But you have to do it through spiritual sensory mechanism called faith. Your faith is activated by the living word and especially what the word says about where you're going. The knowledge, the understanding, the revelation. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must now, notice this word must. I'm like, that's pretty hard. Why can't he just do both? Must now worship him in spirit and truth. He's actually referring back when he says must now worship him in spirit and in truth. He's referring back to verse 21. Our fathers worship in this mountain. And Jesus said unto the woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you will neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. That is a huge saying. You'll no longer partake of that tabernacle. This was their life. It was their meeting place with God. Everyone they had listened to before him said, this is the place you worship the Father, and it was ordained. God had to shift and change all that. That's why he gave that whole generation miraculous testimony. You know, 500 people came out of the grave and walked around the streets of Jerusalem in a glorified state. Could you imagine walking down the street and some dude walks around and said, you look like a light bulb. Hey, I'm Uncle Joe. You remember me? You presided at my funeral. Look at me now. You know why he had to do that? Because he had to shift the priesthood. That was a very difficult shift. Because the ones that were speaking to him one day before he came on the scene, he was canceling their whole operation. That's huge. That's why they fought it so hard. That's why he gave them such incredible testimony and demonstration. So God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I'm going to run through truth real quick because we spent a lot of time in this, but I'm going to run through this because I want to get into the spirit part heavy today. But I'm going to show you what he means by truth. Go to John 14. And I'm going to run through this very fast because I want to get into the spirit part. The shift of tabernacle worship, the change in tabernacle worship. This is huge. In fact, you have to understand the entire book of John was a whole progression to understand what he's saying there. John 14, let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place. This is not a place he went to prepare for you when you get to heaven. He went to prepare a place to get you into the heavenlies where all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places flow. You were raised together with him, made to sit together with him in heavenly places. That's the place he prepared for you. When he sat down at the right hand of God, he gave you a position to sit down with him and gave you access. That where I am, verse 3, there you may be also. That is huge in the context of your worship now. I'm not orchestrating and administrating worship from the tabernacle of the earth. I'm administrating worship from the tabernacle of where I am. And whether I go, you know, in the way, you know, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not the whither you go. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's get that out of the context of the sweet by and by after you're dead here and understand that that is a now revelation. No man cometh to the Father, but the whole reason I came is to get you to the Father. For if the first tabernacle was sufficient, it would not have had need for another one to arise. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All right, John 10 real quick. So here he is in truth. You're not going to approach the Father outside of truth. What does that mean? You're coming through the only ordained way the Father is allowing anyone to come. You have to understand, before Jesus started speaking these words, that tabernacle standing, nobody said once to anybody, you've got to go through the Lamb, because there was no Lamb to go through. You come through the sacrificial system and you meet with God in the tabernacle. You come and pray to God here. There was no other way. They didn't have another way. He comes and says, that's over. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And they're going, what? Prove it. That's why God had to come with demonstration and miracles. Jesus would have never preached without miracles. Because the Father backed his message. Because he had something new to say that had boggled the minds of that generation. And he had to be expressed. So did the apostles, the early apostles. And so will we. This message is not going to forever be taught. without power. Do you understand that? We're laying the foundations of it. But this message will be taught with great power because God will confirm this word of what he's saying, the word of the right hand of God. Jesus said to be with me where I am. He forever sat down at the right hand of God. If you're going to be with him where he is, you're going to have to get into the right hand of God. There's no other way about it. Amen. And so he has this ordained way. He says, God is setting up a brand new system. You'll no longer worship here. Whoa. Wow. You're going to worship him where he is. But where he is not where you are, because he doesn't live in your jurisdiction. He lives in his jurisdiction. He visits your jurisdiction, but he lives in his, and he is a spirit. He resides over a kingdom, his father, and that kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's not in the natural. And nothing you've ever learned about worship from this tabernacle is going to get you to him except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You got to come through me now. And they hated him for that. Who do you think you are telling us? He changed everything. No more dependency upon the Pharisees. You think they like that? You know what they saw? Offerings go bye-bye. By dependency, you know, men like people to depend on them. They get that ego thing. You got to go through me. They still do it today. You know, they get personalities and egos, and it's all about me. And they miss that, and they were losing their control of the people because he came and told them. John 10, he says, look, he goes, I'm the door. He goes, everyone that ever came before me was a thief and a robber. You're going to have to come through this door. I am the only qualified access to the Father. He's changing everything. You're going to worship him. You have to go to where he is. And I'm the only one that can get you there. Because right now you got something inside you that cannot even sit with him. Because you were born in a state of sin. But I'm going to come and change your nature. I'm going to give you a brand new man, a new creation. And that new creation will be forever perfected. And I can present you faultless through that new creation to the Father. And he'll accept you as faultless because he accepts you in the Beloved because you're found in me. And you have been made righteous, holy, and without blame before him in love. That's pretty awesome. But apart from that, you're not going to make it to where he is because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You were born with a nature that can't even make it through the veil. So I have to come by the word of God, Hebrews, and I got to divide spirit, soul, and body. Once I divide your spirit out, I'll recreate him on the spot. That old man will die with me in baptism and I'll raise him all the way into glory. He brought many sons into glory. He brought your new man into glory. While your flesh still remains in this jurisdiction, your new man is not confined to it. Hallelujah. That's some booyah right there. Look at chapter 8 real quick. I got to get into the spirit part. I want to get you into Hebrews. Verse 30. We're still in the truth part. See, you have to go through. Do you understand now? You're going to have to go through the truth. Why'd he say that? Because there was a lot of them going to try to go another way. Well, we're just going to continue to worship the Father the way we are. He says, you're not going to make it to him. That system is dead. It's waxed old and decayed. The life has been removed from it. Why would you 2,000 years later want to go listen to somebody's telling you, well, if you keep the Sabbath, he teaches his whole church to keep the Sabbath. And they go, oh. Chapter 8. As he spake these words, verse 30, many believed on him. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, and continue in my word, I have something to say to you. I am the new spokesperson of heaven. The Father ordained me at the River Jordan. Did he ordain him at the River Jordan? He said, this is my beloved son. Now hear him. This is the one I'm speaking through. Hebrews chapter 1. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What does that mean? He goes, look, I come here to represent the Father. I came here not just to save you. I came here to save you, put a new creation in you, and then bring you to the Father. If you'll continue with me, you're going to know the truth of how to get to the Father. And that truth's going to make you free. And it's going to enable me to present you before him. Now, here's the problem he was dealing with. You can see right here the resistance. Verse 33, and they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. Mm-hmm. How sayest thou we need to be made free? That's just not the thing you want to actually say to the Lord. Notice his response, verse 34. Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant. He said, listen, you're a servant of it, whether you're speaking for me or not. You were still born with the same nature. That's Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, and chapter 5. Just because you're my spokesperson, you were still born with the same nature as even the Gentiles you're judging. He goes, but I deal with you in covenant. I forgive your iniquities. The high priest makes atonement. But you still were born in that sin. How say you don't have any sin? He said, he that committed sin, you're the servant of it by nature. It's in your nature. That's why I come to change that. I can't even bring you through the veil with me until I change that part of you. I didn't come just to change that part of you. This is where the church misses it. Huge. We all camp right there. I am saved. Next week, I am saved. Next week, I am saved. Next week, come to the altar and repent to stay saved. Next week, I'm saved. Next week, come to the cross. Next week, all the city come to the cross and ask God to heal our land. And God said, okay, I did. The last five citywide crusades that y'all had to ask me to heal the land, I did. So we have another heal our land crusade. We're all going to go repent again. But we're not moving towards him. We stopped. He accepts that. But he said, okay, now come on through now because you are qualified to come to me where I am. Come on through. I changed your nature. You are not a sinner saved by grace. If you were, you could not make it to the Father. You could not be with him where he is. That would be an utter impossibility. You're a son. What does Jesus require for you to be there? Believe it. How are you going to believe it? Keep listening to the right stuff. Start meditating on the right stuff. Stop listening to people who don't know what they're talking about. Amen? It's just the truth. And Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, whosoever committed sin, he's the servant of it. And the servant, he's speaking directly to the priesthood here. He's speaking to the Jewish nation right now. He said, you've been a servant at my house. You've been my spokesperson. You've carried the covenant. You've carried the oracles. He said, but the servant will abide not in my house forever, but the son will abide forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. If you'll follow me in the truth and come on up to where I am, if you'll follow me where I am, I'll bring you out of that bondage you were born into. More importantly, though I'm changing the priesthood, I'm doing a very good thing here because I'm going to bring you where I am. He says that three times. Chapter 12, chapter 14, chapter 17, where I am, there you may be also. Father, I will. They be with me where I am. I am their qualified representative. I come in truth. I am the truth. You must worship him in the truth now. You know why he said must? Because he changed the old. You can't even enter into the old anymore. It waxed old. It decayeth. The life left it. If you try, there's nothing there. He said, but I've changed it. And you're going to have to go through the truth and come up through me. Y'all ready to get into the Spirit now? All right, go to Hebrews. Now, remember when he said, you'll neither worship in this mountain nor in that one. I'm going to shift the jurisdiction. He was referring directly to the tabernacle. Okay? Now watch, he's going to start talking about this in Hebrews here. He's going to start directly referring to the tabernacle. And let's see what he has to say. We'll start in chapter 8. Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now the things we have spoken, This is the sum. Wow. You can sum the first seven chapters up in one verse. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty, knows where he's set, in the heavens. That's very important. You want to underline that. In the heavens. Nobody has a problem that he's there. The problem is comes when we're supposed to get there. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle. Now notice this. He starts referring to the tabernacle. He said, you'll neither worship in this tabernacle anymore, in this city or in this jurisdiction. I'm changing. You're going to have to worship in my jurisdiction now. That's why you had to come through the truth, because he was going to make a way for you to shift the jurisdictions by which you worship in. A minister of the sanctuary. Now, he refers to the Levitical priesthood in the sanctuary, in particularly the one that's located in Jerusalem, of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So this was a tabernacle that God had pitched, but it wasn't the one that was in the natural city of Jerusalem. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it's necessary that this man has someone also to offer. Look at this, verse 4. If he were on the earth, if he was, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are already priests that do that on the earth. If God wanted that, he would have left you where you were. If God wants you to just worship here, I worship you. He'd have left you. God wants ascension. God wants the journey. God is not content anymore for you just to worship here. He wants you to worship where he is, which requires you learn how to move into another jurisdiction besides this one. If he were on the earth, he should not be a priest. If he was administrating an earthly tabernacle, do we have a long way to go or what? You know what the church does? We sit here, we see this mighty God, and we want him to come and display his glory. But we do everything in the natural with a mixture of some anointing. God put some anointing on him. Everything is here. We got to go reach the world. God reach the world. Listen, you can't reach the world in this generation, this hour, without getting something from heaven to reach the world with. You're not going to win the world with a powerless gospel. I'm not going to. You're not going to. You may come up and say it a little better. You may present it a little better, but the world's going to say the same. You think the Muslim world that's willing to already die for their faith are going to just convert because you have a nice theological debate with them? They are ready to shoot you while you're debating. I'm talking about the radicals. You understand what I'm talking about. But they will. While you're talking to the radical, you know, he opens his vest and said, here's my God. He's full of hand grenades and explosives. He said, I'm willing to go. Let's go. What's going to convert him? You think your theological debate of word only? You think our presentation, the way we present the gospel, is going to change any of that? The only thing going to change that, if you can't believe what I say to you, then believe the works, because our Father's backing this one. And they see those works, and my God can't do that. How about a room blows up and you walk out of it unscathed? Okay, something on you I don't have. We're not going to get that serving a natural tabernacle. If he were on earth before, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow. Look at that. That whole tabernacle was an example, but it was a shadow. Say shadow. It was shadowing the true heavenly tabernacle. It was shadowing the heavenly. God really never designed for you to sit here on the earth and worship him. He always had the design to be with him where he was. It was all foreshadowing what was the truth in heaven. He pitched a tabernacle in the heavens. If he pitched a tabernacle there, that's where you go to meet him. Verse 6. Oh, I got the revelation of this week. How many of you read this one? I love it. But now, he hath attained a more excellent ministry. Jesus asked, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, would he have asked for another one? Why would he have sought another one? I'm thinking, okay, what's that mean to you? You ever heard that verse? This is established on a better covenant. We got a better covenant than the first one. Let's see what the first one had. It had prosperity. The first one had a covenant for healing. I am the God that healeth thee. In fact, when that woman, the Syrophoenician woman, wanted to obtain healing for her demon-possessed daughter, he said, it's not meet to give the children's bread. That was a covenant. They had a covenant of healing. They actually met with God, but not where he was. So what was these better promises? Anybody want to guess? Now, the better covenant, that's half of it. That's what I had up till about yesterday. So I'm only about 24 hours in front of that one. The better covenant was the fact that God had a sacrifice, a final one. Basically, what she was saying is those old sacrifices could not get you born again. They could not bring you to life. They could cover the sin, but this covenant actually did away with the sin. And you were born again, made a new creation. That's where we've been with a better covenant, right? You know what the administration of the true better covenant was? The second phase? Better promises? I have another tabernacle for you. The better covenant, I had to get you born again so I can bring you to the better tabernacle built on better promises, because I'm not going to ministrate in the earth anymore. We're ministrating in heaven, and I'm going to purge the heavens, and I'm purging you, and I'm inviting you now to come be with me where I am, for I'm administrating as a mediator, as your high priest, as your intercessor. He sat down at the right hand of God, ever making intercession for them. I got a better covenant for you. I'm bringing you all the way up. I'm bringing many sons to glory. The better covenant built on the better promises as I'm bringing you now to be with me where I am. You're going to sit and reside with me at the right hand of God and exercise dominion from that place. It's a whole lot more alive when you're there. When it becomes a reality, when you bring something back like wealth transference. Did you know the king, the crown will flourish in the right hand? You know that David's horn buds in the right hand? Do you know that all the stuff we want here, that people sacrifice and labor for, when you start in the right hand, you're a partaker of the heavenly calling, you're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, that things will start budding up in there? Things will start happening you couldn't do in 1,000 generations here. It'll start budding up in there. This thing was built on better promises. I can be with him, and he is awesome. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I get a kick out of these people that sit there and they pray all day and they look like this. I'm like, you just spent 4 hours in prayer? Yeah, but I put my time in. I'm like, I'm sure he likes that. I used to do that a lot. Chuck used to do that a lot. I used to spend 6-8 hours a day praying, but I prayed the right way because I was praying in tongues, because my spiritual father taught me. And guess what? That delivered me to a pathway called the path of life. Thou wilt show unto me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. He wasn't meaning for me to keep doing that in a listless existence. He wanted me to enter in. I got news for you. If you're in his presence, there's fullness of joy. You will feel, well, I don't walk by my feeling. I do. I pray till I feel it. Because if I get in, I'm feeling it. I'm not going to sit there and spend, I don't do that no more. I did that. I've done that for years. There's no glory in someone spending 6 hours a day. I did that for years. I'm thinking, God, and these other guys, man, I'm sitting there praying and, man, I'm just miserable. But I'm praying. I'm a prayer warrior. This guy over here, he doesn't do nothing. Comes in, spends 15 minutes a day. Everything he's touching is turning to gold. And I'm like, he don't know God like I do. He's happy. Things are happening. I'm like, what is up? I don't want to ask, of course, because he ain't doing what I'm doing. Why is that happening? He's entering. I said, if you're just praying to pray, you're missing it. You're praying to put your time in. Oh, I got to put my 15 minutes in. Whoever created that? I'm coming to just put my time in with God. Do you think that's what he wants for you to sit in this jurisdiction and put your time in? You think he died for you to just to put your time in this jurisdiction? If you're going to put your time in, at least put it in his jurisdiction, because that's what he's seeking. If you want to impress him, go to where he is. And don't go in there unworthy either. He's not impressed with unworthiness. I'm telling you right now, he is not at all impressed. Well, Father, I'm not worthy to be here, but I love you. And God said, you're not coming. If you don't think you're worthy, you're not coming. You're going to tell me my son was not enough to recreate your spirit? You're going to tell me you're not worthy to stand here? Then what does his blood represent? You're not coming. Get a better attitude. Believe. What does he require? Believe. You got to come in there and say, I am forever perfected. You got to come in there saying, you accepted me in the beloved. You got to come in there. Father, he's presenting me faultless. Look at me. I'm faultless. Look at me, Father. You got to come in there and say, he's presenting me unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. I got to know I'm worthy to sit there with him. Your flesh is not what's going up there, so don't worry about your flesh. It has no access. It's your spirit, man, that's been recreated. It's going in there. Booyah!
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1.
Verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. That's the earthly. The church puts a lot of stock in buildings. When I first started, that's all I wanted to do is get a new building. I was pining after new buildings. I want a new building, new building, new building. Y'all remember that day? I always had a new building. Every time we turn around, I'm looking at a new building. And God never gave me one of those new buildings. All these other people had new buildings. I said, I don't have no building. You bring me here. I like the inside, but the outside, I close my eyes this day. I drive my eyes closed. You ever see me drive my eyes closed? I don't want to look at nothing out there. I said, one day, Father, I will get a new building. But he ain't living in the building. God didn't want us all focused up in on all that. Then I wanted that international ministry. He didn't want me running around with nothing to say. Sometime God will hold you back until you find what it is he wants you to say. Because you start running around the earth and saying something that's not what he wants you to say. You have a nice ministry, but you're not going to bring people anywhere near where you could bring them if you entered in what he wanted you to find. So he held us back till we found the right hand. But I'm telling you, this day coming, the empty seat next to you won't be there. But that's not what it's about right now. Right now, it's all about the right hand. All about entering in, but very soon it'll be bringing back. He sat at the right hand of power. There's some power up there. But he wants us to find love first. A whole lot of love. He sauces us with love in that place. Verse 2, for there is a tabernacle made, the first wherein the candlestick table show bread, called the sanctuary. After that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. He's going to refer to this five times in this chapter. Four in this chapter, once in chapter 10. After the second veil, the tabernacle was called the holiest of all. Where was that? Jerusalem. Where'd they meet? There. Who went in there? Nobody but the high priest. Okay. Which had the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, wherein the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded. Now, David brought that Ark up into Jerusalem, but Jerusalem turned into Zion. Aaron's rod is up in the right hand of God now. What's that mean? Your priestly rod will bud when you get your rod there. It'll start budding. Everything buds in the Ark. Where's the Ark? It's in the holiest of all. What did he say? He pitched a tabernacle in the heavens, which was the earth, was only an example. The true tabernacle was in the heavens. And he told Moses, see that you build it after the pattern, because you're building after a heavenly pattern. Everything in the natural, there's something in heaven. There's a mercy seat in the heavens. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 6, but when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always in the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. This is huge right here. Verse 7, the second went the high priest alone. I want you to underline the word alone. He emphasizes the fact that he went alone, meaning you didn't go with him. Not without blood. Verse 8, the Holy Ghost was signifying, because he was going alone, that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. So only one could go in once a year because that veil had not been opened, the Holy of Holies. And he wasn't talking about the tabernacle in the earth. We couldn't go there yet. Yet. The way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. You see that? Oh, I like this verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present. Say figure. Go to verse 11. But Christ, say but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, built on better promises. You see that? Of chapter 8, a better covenant, a better promise. Christ, but Christ being a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building that's in Jerusalem. That's not the tabernacle you're entering into. Not made with hands. He's going to pick that up. Verse 12, listen to this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood. Now, how many times have you read this? He entered into the holy place. When did he ever walk into that tabernacle? With his blood? He died on the cross. He was scourged at the scourging post of the Romans. They took him to Golgotha and he died on the cross. When did he walk into the holy place made with hands and present his blood? He didn't go into that tabernacle. You ever seen that? I saw that last night. I was like, ha! Ha! He didn't go into that Holy of Holies. He went into another one. Booyah! There is another tabernacle, my friends. Verse 23, pretty cool, isn't it? It was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place with hands. That's verse 11. Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, verse 11, by a greater tabernacle not made with hands. He didn't enter the one with the hands. God, I get excited about this stuff. Can you tell? Look at verse 24. For Christ is not entered in the holy place made with hands. That's not where he presented his blood. Which are a figures, look, of the what? You shall worship me in spirit and in truth. You'll be with me where I am. I'm pitching a tabernacle, but it's not made with hands. The tabernacle's in the heavens. I entered in the blood, but into heaven itself. Say heaven itself. Let's read it again. I want you to see it. Christ is not entered in the holy place with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of the Father for us, he brought his blood into the mercy seat of the right hand of God. He presented it. He cleansed the right hand of God and said, the way to the holiest of all is now made manifest. Come on in. Booyah. Go to chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What holiest you think he was talking about? Not a natural tabernacle, but it was the one he went into the heavens. Having therefore boldness to now enter into the right hand of God where he shed his blood. He put it on the mercy seat. The mercy seat's in the right hand. The rest is in the right hand. The perfection is the right hand. The secret place of the Most High is the right hand. He purged it. It opened it for us. Man, that's where he is. God is a spirit. He resides over a spiritual kingdom. The right hand of God is a spiritual place. It's a heavenly place. I've raised you together and made you to sit together in heavenly places. It's a place you can come. It's a place you can enter into. It's a spiritual domain. They that worship me now worship me in the domain I live in the spirit, for I bring you to the right hand to sit with me. And God is now seeking a whole new system. See, The old is waxing old in decayeth, but the new has come forth. The shadow was shadowing the truth. That's what Chuck told me the other day. Now the truth has come. You can come now, worship the Father where He is. You can sit here with me. I'm not ashamed to call you a brethren. I share my glory with you. My glory the Father's given me is to sit at His right hand. Which of any of the angels, not Gabriel, not Michael, any of them, ever did He say, come and sit here at my right hand? But you, He did. He said, come and sit here. I share this position that you may know the joy that I have with Him. And my joy that I have with the Father is now going to be fulfilled in you. Because when you come and sit here with me, there are pleasures forevermore. You shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of His house. He makes us to drink of the river of His pleasure. Verse 11, chapter 10, 11. And every priest standing daily minister and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice could never take away the sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. That's why you get to go in. His sword of Hebrews chapter 4 separated spirit, soul, and body, recreated your spirit, and now your spirit's allowed to ascend into the right hand of God, into the true tabernacle. Do we have access or what? Do we have access or what? He's given us access. We both now, Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father. Access. Shout access. Access. That is where your faith. It's that word. Every time God gives me a new revelation, it expands my faith to cause me to reach and to ascend. The barrier is broken. You have the right to ascend out of this jurisdiction into the new one. Hebrews chapter 12, you are not coming to a mount you can touch with your hands. You're coming into Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. The spirits of just men made perfect. See that you do not turn away from Him now that is speaking from heaven. Go there, chapter 12 real quick. Verse 18, you are not come to a mount that might be touched. That's not the one. You didn't come to Mount Sinai. You're coming to another one. Verse 22, you are come into Mount Zion. Notice what he said, into. That's a spiritual mountain. They that worship me now must worship me in spirit. Jerusalem's no longer the place, natural Jerusalem, where you worship. You worship me now where I am in Zion. Psalms 110, Zion is the right hand of God. I don't have time to go there. You can look at it. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Do you have access? Everyone go like this. Yes. In verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the better covenant, the New Testament, built on better promises. Why? Because He's now mediating you all the way to the Father. I've made a way where there was no way. I brought you through the veil for which you were totally cut off. The Father doesn't have to be distant from you anymore. He's seeking such to worship Him. They'll worship Him where He is in me. I brought you to where I am. You sat down at the right hand of God. Now we worship the Father in the jurisdiction of the right hand of God. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that's speaking from heaven? How do you turn away? That's really good, Pastor. Go about your life. You don't even know the purpose for which you were born again. The church doesn't even tell people, come here, let me give you a nice 30-minute message, 18 minutes of worship, nice fellowship. I have social club on the right, social club on the left. Choose which one you want to be in. Get you in, get you out. I got the next group of sheep coming in. We don't even know why we're here. He didn't want us to stop in some system that never got us to where He is. He wanted us to climb all the way up into the heavens. And when you start talking about heaven in the New Testament church, people go, huh? Heaven? Huh? Yeah, he wants you to be with him in heaven. Yeah, I know. When I die, I'll be with him. Yeah, you missed the whole purpose for which you were born again. He died not so you could just be saved. Father, I will. The final prayer he prayed, that they be with me where I am, that they may behold the glory you've given me. They may experience it by visitation, what you've given me to sit at your right hand. Not even the angels have this estate, but I bring them to where I am. I share my glory as a joint heir. And now we, as a family, Father, worship you where you are. And God fills you with glory, and he fills you with love. And you be trying to love your brother. You don't have the kind of love he possesses to love them with. God doesn't want your human love. I can give my body to be burned and not have love. 1 Corinthians 13, I can give all my goods to feed the poor, and they do it all the time. And you're not possessing the God kind of love, because to get his love, you got to be with him where he is. And when you're there, he'll love you the way he loves the Son, because you're with the Son. And you can call upon him, God, you got to love me the same way you love the Son. I tell him all the time, I want to be loved. Man, I come out of that place. Anna goes, oh, my God, you've been in there. Sometimes I stagger out of the room. I come out of there. I'm like, God, I can't wait for all this to download into the earth. He goes, soon enough, son, just enjoy it right now. Enjoy the access. You can go in. I decided I was going to go in 10:30 last night. I was in by 10:40. 10 minutes. Sometimes it's 30. I don't get frustrated. I just sit back. I put real soft music on. I lay back and I start quoting my access. I don't strive with it. I just sit there and do it. I know I have the confidence I'm going to pass through the veil. And I sit there and do it. I just keep on. Oh, you've granted me access, Father. By the new and the living way, with boldness, I come therefore unto the throne of grace, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest. I've been raised together. Sometimes I see myself just stepping into a shaft of resurrection life. I was buried with you in baptism, but raised with you in your glory. You brought many sons to glory. I'm one of those sons. You brought me to where you're at. I sit down with you. You weren't ashamed to call me a brother. I sit with you as a joint heir, and we look to the Father. Love me, Father. His joy to be fulfilled in me. And I just keep on going, and all of a sudden I find myself caught up there, and then the love starts flowing. That's kind of love that's much greater than the visitation you get here. Got to come and visit, but that is fullness there. It's awesome. You're filled. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This feels good. He'll solve a lot of your problems if you'll start getting in there with him. Spend your time not just praying. Spend your time learning how to access. Don't just go 15 minutes of quiet time. That's not what he was looking for. You think that he died for you to just sit there with 15 minutes? Well, I read my Bible, clunk, and go on about your life. Enter in, approach, access, practice, ascend. If you don't get it right the first time, I didn't learn to swing a golf club like Tiger Woods the first time. But I got it now. Go to Psalm 132. Okay, now we know, according to Psalms 110, the right hand of God is in Zion. I love this scripture. Verse 13, Psalm 132. The Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. The rest of Hebrews chapter 4, labor to enter the rest, here it is. This is my rest forever, the right hand of God, where I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. Where? In Zion, in the right hand of God. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests. You know, poverty could be eradicated in the body of Christ if we could get his bride to where he is. I'll satisfy her poor with bread. I'll clothe her priest with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Now here's the best. There. You see that word there? You got to watch. When God says there, you need to find out why there is there. So if he says there, it means find out why there is there. And what is there? There, verse 17, will I make the horn of David to bud. Where? Zion. Horn of David was the authority of the kingly anointing. It buds. Where's the ark? It's in the right hand of God. It's in the Holy of Holies where you're called to access. What was in there? Aaron's rod that buds. Christine brought that out. There the horn of David buds. Your kingly anointing and priestly anointing both bud in the right hand of God. Look at this, verse 18. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. The kingly crown flourishes in the right hand of God. Isn't that awesome? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.